This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
If we're going into our conflicts with repair in mind, we are less likely for it to turn into a full-blown fight. We're expressing complaints about behaviors, not criticizing who they are at their core.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the Shift Talking. Hi, and welcome back to Shift Talking. Today is episode 21, and before we fully get into it, I want to acknowledge that I did not recognize, I was not being self-aware enough during episode 20 to recognize how much profanity I was using. I am going to be way more mindful of that. I worry that because I used it so much that it kind of pulls away from the messaging, and so moving forward, that's definitely something I'm going to be editing. The second thing is that when we're talking about preventing conflict and then jumping right into what to do once it's already there, I also missed a very important part about like how to attempt to start our conversations without them developing into conflict. So we're going to be pushing those other two out a little bit. And today is going to be about communicating assertively, how to voice complaints and bring something up, but without dreading how it will go. We don't want to sound aggressive, or maybe we avoid it altogether. And so today I want to go over a way to start conversations that make people listen without making things worse. So today we're talking about how to say what you need to say clearly, calmly, and with confidence. And while sometimes we can put the pressure on the person listening to give me the benefit of the doubt or to put down their defenses, we also have to recognize that we contribute. And if I want to be heard, I have to speak in a way that's most likely to set them up for success and therefore me for success as well, right? So the reason I'm bringing this up is because oftentimes it's not about the topic that we feel uncomfortable discussing. It almost always has to do with me not having very much confidence that we could address any topic without it escalating into something bigger. So that leads us to avoiding conversations and, of course, making things worse. We sometimes confuse being assertive with being aggressive.
And then we pull back into more passivity or even like passive aggression. So we want to find something that is really hitting that sweet spot for what it is that we're looking for to really shine. So when we start a conversation well, we control the direction of where it goes. And while we can't control how other people might react to it, I can then move forward into knowing that I have done my best. In retrospect, there's likely nothing I have to take accountability for. My message won't get lost in my mess. So let's go into assertive communication, what it is and what it is not. To keep things simple for today, and before I do more episodes about communication styles in general, what we're going to do is go over the narrative that each of the four communication styles tend to sound like, right? So passive really says, I don't want to cause a problem, and so I'll just let it go. If you're good, I'm good, let's just leave it be. And, you know, of course, we know what passivity gets us to. The aggressive says, I'm just going to say it and they'll deal with it. If they have an issue, that's their problem. This is usually where people tend to say, like, I'm just a direct person. I just say it like it is. I'm just being honest, right? And oftentimes, when we're not filtering that and finessing it, it's just likely to be aggressive. If we're the loudest one in the room, we are unlikely to actually be the one heard. The passive aggression says, oh no, it's fine, whatever. Right? But it's clearly not fine. And so the passive aggressive is really just attempting to voice a complaint, but also just deeply trying to avoid conflict that we don't recognize that we actually manifest it by the way that we, you know, share these things. The assertive is the gold standard. This one says, I want to talk about this because it matters, and I respect both of us too much to ignore it. It really is fundamentally what it is that we're striving for. It is also the least common communication style because we're just not taught these things. And so let's go over some myths about assertiveness. The first is that if I'm being assertive, I'm being rude. And no, if you're being aggressive, you likely are. But if you truly are leading with assertive communication, you're not being rude. You're being clear and concise and solution focused. Another myth is that I have to be nice so they don't get mad. And while, of course, again, we finesse and filter these things, you are not responsible for their emotions and how they take it. What you are responsible for is your delivery and ensuring that they have the most opportunity for successfully taking that in. Another myth is that we have to wait for the right moment or too much time has passed. It's too late in these types of things, but it's really not. There's no perfect timing. Speaking about these things is going to make it the best timing possible. And it's not about the timing, it's about the framing, right? And one of the things that comes to mind is good advice given at a bad time or in a bad way is bad advice. So here's what it sounds like, and then we'll break down each statement one by one. I feel, followed by a feeling word, when, and then you put in a specific behavior, complaint, whatever that is. Just once, the most recent time, not always or never. My understanding is, and then share your understanding. Not excuses for their behavior, but explanations for it. Show them that you're already giving them the benefit of the doubt. What I like is, state what you want. What is it that you're actually asking for? This is important to me because, and then we list reasons for importance. Moving forward, I, and then here's where we list a compromise or efforts that I will make to allow for that to happen, right? So the I feel or I felt followed by a feeling word is really leading with a level of vulnerability. We tend to say like, you do this or this pisses me off because, right? But we don't recognize how much that's going to spark people right off the bat. So we want to share the vulnerability first. And then at the end of this, I'm going to go into like to-dos and not to-dos, but generally that's what we want to do. I feel blank when blank. And then the second one is the when, right? That's the behavior. This is going to be, again, the most recent time that this has happened. Then we follow that with when blank, like, right? Like, what is that behavior? What is that complaint that you're having? And just go with the last one. And we'll go into, of course, again, the always never things and why those don't help us. My understanding is exactly that. You're giving them the benefit of the doubt. You're letting them know, I've already considered what could be contributing to the way that you're behaving, whatever this might be. And then the reason why we emphasize right after that of what I would like is because you need to know what your solution is. Oftentimes, we go to someone before we've really thought it through. And if you're just going to them to vent and you're leading purely with raw emotion, you're not going to get anywhere. You're likely going to spark them, you will end up sparked, and then we will meet or exceed each other's intensity levels, right? So before we even voice a complaint, we want to, one, taste our words before we say them. And this is how we kind of create that recipe, right? The other part is to determine what it is that you're actually looking for. What do you want out of this complaint? You have to know what your end goal is. Each time we voice complaints with people and we bring up these conversations, if we're just wanting to kind of think out loud and share and just explore and have a conversation around that, great. Then that's what you're looking for. You're looking to expand your perspective or gain new insights. That's a goal. Most of the time when it's these...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Types of hard, challenging conversations, we are looking for something to change, but we may not know what that is. So we need to go into it knowing that this is a negotiation. At the end of the day, fundamentally, especially within our relationships, if we have a complaint about behavior, a complaint about anything, we have to know a way to remedy that and suggest that. Know what you're asking for before you bring it up to them. Already come with a solution and not just the problem. Then we go into, this is important to me because. And this is not just so I can get what I want, or this is important to me because that pisses me off or I don't like it. This is about, I am bringing up this topic with you. I am risking conflict because you are important to me, because I value us, because I want us to be able to communicate effectively. I want us to be able to connect, right? And then finally, what am I going to do differently to facilitate this end goal that I'm looking for? If our dynamic is problematic, we are both problematic. We are both contributing. Sure, one more than the other in certain circumstances. And we can't just go to someone and say, hey, this is what upsets me about what you do, and you're going to need to stop doing that entirely in order for me to feel good about it. And, you know, it's just in the vast majority of these conversations, that's not going to be good enough. It's too black and white, and it's placing all of the emphasis on this other person doing something to make you happy. So if you are unwilling to make modifications in order to get what it is that you want, then you don't truly want that modification. You just want them to do it for you, and that's just giving away your power time and time again. We have to contribute if we're actually looking for this result to come through. So let's do this in real time and let's practice. Let's take the scenario of your partner looking at their phone or being on their phone while you're trying to have a conversation with them. This comes up constantly, right? So I feel not pissed off, not these things, not things within the anger family. We want to go with the more vulnerable emotion. So I would say, I felt unimportant when you were on your phone this morning while I was trying to talk to you. I really do get that you're under so much pressure and you really like to be available for everyone. And I would really like for us to communicate without distractions. This is so important to me because I want us to maintain connection. And as our lives get more hectic, I'm afraid that we're going to lose each other or diminish how important we are to each other. So what I'm really looking for is for us to maybe put our phones down. Like, I'm perfectly happy to remind you as well. And I would like for you to remind me if I forget, because I'm sure this is something that I do at times too. And so maybe we can remind each other if we think it's a conversation worth putting our phones down. If it's a quick back and forth, then of course I don't really need that. But what I would like is for us to maybe put phones down on silent or even in another room while we're having conversations that matter to us. Are you open to this? Right? It's so much less about the emotion and more about the fact of this is how I feel when this comes through. You're showing them benefit of the doubt and considering what their reasons might be. You're saying exactly what it is that you need and why it's important and what you will do in order to facilitate that. You are the one making the request. So you have to be willing to make modifications in order to fulfill that request. And here's the thing. I know that this sounds quite robotic. Again, I really do get that. I want you practicing with this script so you get familiar with hitting each one of those points. What it is that you feel, where you think these things might be coming from, what it is that you want, why it's important to you, and what you will do in order to help achieve it. And these kind of five robotic statements are going to eventually morph into something that's more casual and sounds more like you, right? I want you to really just be comfortable with hitting each one of these points, no matter how robotic it is. I want you to use this script just to get familiar with each of these. And then over time, this will morph, right? It will evolve into something that sounds more like you, and it'll likely come through as like one really long sentence or two kind of shorter ones. But in the meantime, though, we need to hit each point, make sure that we are considering this from all angles and taking more of a 360 approach. And without practicing in more rigid ways, we won't get more familiar. It's kind of like learning to drive a car, right? Like, there's so many rules and we're doing everything by the book. And then eventually these things just happen. We can drive clear across town in our own way without quite remembering it. So that's on the part of the speaker, right? The person who is risking conflict in order to attempt to get to a point of remedy and repair and change or evolution, really, in our relationship. The person who's listening, we also want this to be a volley. We want this to be a back and forth. So the listener is going to validate that. They will say something like, "I get that you felt this way when this happened. Makes sense to me because maybe I would feel similarly if roles were reversed. I may not agree with it, but I can understand what it is that you're saying and what it is that you're looking for." And then either agree to, you know, make these modifications or suggest an alternative. When we are going into our conversations expecting this type of volley, it's going to remove the opportunity for us to do the, "Well, but," right? Or, "What about? What about you? Oh, you don't do this? And oh, what about yesterday when you were on your phone? And why is it always about me?" Right? It's, if we both know that this is the script we are going to follow in order to get more comfortable and more emotionally literate with each other, create more emotional intimacy, and I know that I will absolutely get a turn, then we're less likely to fight over it. Right? So each time you bring a complaint to somebody, I want you to use that script. And once you either agree or negotiate through like what this is going to look like, then that original speaker is going to acknowledge it, say thank you, show appreciation for holding space, and then give the listener an opportunity to speak something that's on their mind. And it can be as simple as, "Is there anything that you want modified on my end? Is there anything that you want to share with me? Is there anything that I do that makes you feel unheard or unimportant?" And then you move through it. If we know that this is going to be a back and forth and that we're each going to get a turn, it reduces the risk of this becoming a whataboutism fight. And instead, it can be addressing one topic at a time. The reason why so many of our conflicts escalate is because we aren't staying in the moment. And we'll go into that next episode. And right? If we're going into our conflicts with repair in mind, we are less likely for it to turn into a full-blown fight. We're expressing complaints about behaviors, not criticizing who they are at their core. So we know the script. You're not just going to walk up to someone and be like, hey, I feel this when you know? Instead, it can be something that opens up the opportunity of, hey, something's been on my mind about the way that we've been communicating lately, and I would really love to talk to you about it this evening when we get home from work. Are you open? And don't forget, if you are asking someone if they are open to something and if something works for them, they can say no. But usually when we're ready to have this conversation, we assume that they should be too, or maybe even demand that they should be too. So if they say, no, that actually doesn't work for me, that's when, of course, pushing this off is not going to, you know, help anybody. It can also be, okay, so if this evening isn't a good time, if tonight's not a good time, or now isn't a good time, let's put something in our schedule in the next week or so. And then you remedy what that is for you to like hold on to this. But this gives an opportunity for both of you to go into this conversation knowing that we're trying to make things better. We are solution oriented. We are prepared. I know what the topic is, right? And you can get as specific as you'd like. But the more we rush things and just try to get through them or end up upset that I have to talk about them at all, the more likely it is that we're going to manifest.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Best really intense fights. Another thing that's going to be so important are our nonverbal cues. 93% of our communication has nothing to do with the actual words that we say. It's so much more about how we say them. It's our body language, it's our intensity, our volume, our tone. And that is going to register in the listener's brain way faster than any message you could give them with the wording that you choose. So we want to use a more steady tone. It's calm and it's firm. It's showing that I'm serious about this, but I'm not here to attack you. I'm here to collaborate with you. I'm going to give eye contact to show you that I'm present and I'm engaged with you. I will keep an open posture, which is not crossing my arms, not standing in defensiveness, not kind of rolling my eyes or pivoting my face into a direction away from them. And we want to use a more measured pace. You're allowed to say, I'm kind of uncomfortable talking about this. I don't know how to. I'm so afraid of this escalating into a fight, and I'm really working hard to prevent that. And here's where I'm at, right? We don't want to rush into it because that doesn't give them an opportunity to kind of absorb what it is that we're saying, and then dragging it out can build more anxiousness and anxiety in them because they just don't know what you're going to say next, and that's scary. So we want to make sure that the way that we're sharing these things are after I've already worked through the emotion of it, and now I'm just giving you facts. So now let's go into the to-dos or the try-to-dos and the try-not-tos. I'm going to start with the to-dos. We want to use I statements. We want to start speaking from your perspective because it is just you. We can't speak for other people or tell them what their intentions are. We have to start just from us in the way that I am impacted and leading with that vulnerability, right? We want to be specific. If this is something that happens often, if this complaint that you're bringing up happens often, there's going to be a time once we're already kind of working toward mending that you can mention the frequency. In the meantime, though, we just want to go with the most recent one. We're trying to reduce and remove their defenses as best we can. So let's be as specific as possible and not go super broad. We want to empathize with their experience. This is their first time living too. They have their own shit, their own wounds coming through. And we want to show them, not just say, I'm on your side and I just don't want to fight. We show them through all of these ways that we communicate verbally and non-verbally that that's true, that I really am here to mend and resolve and get to a solution and move through this, not around it, right? We allow each statement to stand on its own. In the script that I gave you before, what we tend to see happen just kind of naturally in the way that we all speak is the my understanding is, or I understand, or I get, right? I get that you're super busy, but what I'd like is. And we add in that but. So we want to replace but with and as often as possible. We're not going to diminish their reasoning, right? Like their explanation for that behavior. We're not going to diminish that. We're not even excusing their behavior. We are just helping them recognize that I've already developed some explanations for it. But once you add that but, it removes the benefit of the doubt that you've given. It feels like it's a cop-out. It feels like that doesn't matter. It is both. We are all about accepting multiple truths here, right? So it's, I understand you are super busy, and what I would like is XYZ. We have to understand our own motivations. Do you even know what you're looking to get out of this? Do you just want them to hold space for you? And if so, great, make sure that that's stated. Are you looking for a solution? Great, make sure that that's stated. But you need to know what your bottom line is. You're going into a negotiation. So what is it that you're really looking to get? And what are you unwilling to go without? What are your non-negotiables? And then with that solution, it can't just be, this is what I need and that's it. You have to show a willingness to compromise, that you're open and flexible to try something, even if it's not exactly how you pictured it. When you're offering the solution, I want to see you giving more than one option, right? List alternatives. We can do this or we can do this. Here's what I was thinking. And then if you want to be more directive without controlling them or demanding these things, you can say something like, if it's up to me, this is what we would do. We don't get to just talk at people and demand and expect them to take it, be open to it, and not have any sort of defensiveness or objections to what's happening. And then the try not to's. We do not want to use absolutes, you guys. The always, never, every time, no one, everyone, no man would be okay with this, no woman would be okay with this. It's not even actually factual, right? When somebody is presenting an argument to me, expressing a complaint to me, rather, and they start with you always or you never, I already know that nothing is always and nothing is never. And so you already aren't giving me the benefit of the doubt, and that is the second word of your statement. I'm tuning out. I'm already stopping listening. I'm already feeling so deeply discounted that I'm not going to be as open. So we want to remove the absolutes as often as possible. And I'm not expecting you to kind of keep score and say like, well, it's been 72 times that you have done this. It's instead, I often feel this way. More often than not. Lately, I sometimes, right? We're giving some sort of frequency. You can't fight me on the frequency of often. Maybe they still won't like it being that broad. And it's better than an absolute. And this is all about that progression, right? So we want to avoid those absolutes. And I want you to hear the difference between these two things. You never listen to me, and I often feel unheard by you. They're communicating the same thing, which is that I'm not feeling heard. I'm not feeling important. I'm not prioritized. You're not paying attention to me. One of them is an accusation that's not even rooted in reality. And the other one is purely a factual statement about how I feel. It's not an attack. It's a disclosure. I'm sharing that with you. Another thing that we don't want is the I told you so's. And while I know that you know this already, we really need to drive this home because nobody wants to hear I told you so, and even if they need to hear it, they are going to be less likely to apologize to you in the future. We have to show emotional safety to the people around us. And so even though I know that you want to, what it is instead is leaning into the fact that they're acknowledging it and allowing that to be enough. No one's going to eat shit twice. And if you're expecting them to apologize, if you're looking for them to hold space for you, if you say, yeah, I know exactly right, or whatever that is afterward, they're not going to feel safe apologizing to you. They're not going to eat shit twice. The third one is that you should have or you could have. I get that. And it's past tense and it's going to lead with judgment. We want to pivot that into what I'd like next time is this. Here's what I'm looking for, right? And prevent trying to focus so much on what has already occurred and more on what we are going to do about it. Another no-no is asking questions that start with why. They immediately spark defensiveness. They immediately tell us that you disagree, you don't like it. I now have to like give you a reason. Because when we ask why, we're looking for an answer. And we already kind of know that you have a rubric. I'm already feeling judged. I'm already feeling like I need to get the answer right. So instead of saying, why did you do that? You would say something like, what was it that you were looking to get out of that? Like, help me understand. What would this have done for you? There's two left, guys. Bear with me. The next is calling your witnesses. This is where even your mother agrees with me. Even this person says it. Even your sister agrees with me. Even this friend said this. They've even seen this too. Everyone says this. They're noticing, right? And while from the speaker's perspective, it sounds like it's strengthening my argument, right? It's that like, I'm not the only person who feels this way, so look. And it seems like if I'm coming to you with more people who view you in this type of way or are affected by you in these types of ways, then like you have no choice but to see it and hear it and absorb it and take it and accept it. And that's on the speaker's point of view. From the listener's point of view, I know a handful of things. I know that you had a conversation about me when I wasn't present. I know that it was negative. I had no opportunity to defend myself. And now I have a bone to pick with this person. It's an attack, right? It can feel like that. And that's kind of what's coming through too. We're not speaking for anyone else when we are doing this work. We are speaking for ourselves and that is it. And then finally, the I feel like you. When we're saying I feel, we need to follow it up with a feeling word. And here's the difference. I feel uncared for, and I feel like you just don't give a shit about me. You know? They're very different things. One, again, is an accusation. When I'm saying I feel, follow it with a feeling word. Right? If you want to kind of let them know what messaging you're getting from their actions or whatever that is, then don't use feel. You can use something like the impression I get from this is X. When I'm saying I feel, we have to go with our feeling. You can say that their behavior tells me that you don't quite care for me. But again, that's still telling them how they feel. Versus when you engage in this way with me, I feel uncared for. I feel defensive. I feel small. Okay, so remember, being assertive is not being rude. It's being clear. We have to have a good start, those gentle startups of, hey, is now a good time? And letting them know exactly what it is that you want to talk about. And that's going to allow for more opportunity for a good conversation to flow. Your tone, your words, your body language all work together to create an impact. And even if it's not your intention for things to go sideways, the impact may have been poor. We have to acknowledge these things. So my challenge for you this week is going to be to use this script. I actually call it assertive Mad Libs because of like when we were growing up in the fill in the blanks. And I want you to use this. Head to my website. I'm going to link it in the show notes, and it's part of our resource library. So please go there and download this. And try it out. I would love to see you try this formula once this week, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Please don't go straight for like the root cause problems in our relationship when we don't feel confident that we can have a conversation about how we fold towels well enough yet, right? Just start with very low risk scenarios of not changing the toilet paper roll, right? Like we can do these smaller things that are lower risk and allow for us to build some evidence that we can voice complaints and we can engage in this way without it turning into a massive argument. I would also like you kind of practicing this statement even with no one around. Practice feeling silly about doing this because it's the only way to get through. It's the only way to move through these things and get better and better and build that muscle. And per usual, because this is shift talking, we are going to go through the acronym of shift and how to use the shift framework when it comes to this. So our S is for ourself. How do you usually approach hard conversations? Do we lead with more passivity, more aggressiveness, more assertiveness, more passive aggression? And what holds you back from speaking up? What typically in your history prevents you from feeling safe enough and confident enough to do this? Our H is the healing from the bullshit. Were you taught that speaking up is rude? Does this fundamentally go against your values of how you were raised about voicing complaints? Are you avoiding conversations because of past conflicts, past missteps, past times that I made things so much worse, and I'm trying to prevent that? You heal through that by recognizing what it is and where it came from and allowing for the work that we're doing now to almost serve to mend that in the past. You didn't know. And while I get that you can go back and say like, okay, well, I should have, could have done this differently. You didn't. You did the best that you could with the knowledge and the information that you had at the time. So now that you know different, let's try different. And this is our I, this is our innovation, right? In our communication, you don't need to become a different person to be assertive. You just need the right tools. So the innovation is using the script, practicing our body language, do this in the mirror, try different opening lines and see what lands best for you. Let the people around you know what it is that you're working on. If you listen to this and then you decide to download the script and then go practice it, while it may go well, right? It's even better if you can let the people in your life know what it is that you're working on. Hey, I tend to lead with more aggression, and I notice that sometimes I offend you when I'm trying to share with you what I'm feeling. And so I downloaded this script, and I'd really like for us to start using it, right? It's letting other people know what's coming through. Our F is going to be that fortitude. Assertiveness will get easier with practice. Please don't expect for this to go well the first time. If you try this script and it goes sideways, please don't assume that this doesn't work. It just means that we need to practice it and get more familiar with it. This fortitude is going to reinforce that this work isn't about avoiding discomfort. It's about being able to move through it instead of around it or avoiding it entirely. Our T is then that transformation. The more you practice, the more natural it comes. And then before you know it, after time, after this work, right? You recognize that, oh, wow, I really am buying myself like milliseconds before I react. I really am setting up for the best conversation possible by giving them a heads up about what it is that we're working on, right? That about what it is that I want, about being mindful of my tone, my body language, my intensity, my volume. And eventually, as you do this work, as you practice, you will see that this script, these five robotic statements, will come so much more naturally to you. Okay, so now that you know how to start the conversation, we also have to focus on what to do once things actually do get heated, right? Please do not expect that just because we have this formula that you won't enter into conflict. That's deeply impractical and, you know, let's be realistic here. And we are going to go into this next time. What happens when it gets heated, how to keep the conflict from blowing up and getting even bigger and bigger even once we're in it. Like, how can we diffuse the situation as best as possible? And I'm going to give you some tools and strategies of getting there. So last episode, we learned about how to prevent these things. This episode was all about how to address and start the conversation about complaints that we're voicing. Our next episode is going to be about how to diffuse the conflict once it's already started. And then that next one will follow up with, okay, well, now that the conflict is over, how do we repair? What do we do about this? How do we move through this so we can get on to the next crisis, you know? Okay, so that's where we're at. I hope this was helpful. If you need any sort of guidance, you want more examples, more scripts, more opportunities, you want to like bounce an idea off of me, you want to write an email and you're not sure if it's assertive enough or if it's borderline aggressive, whatever it is, just reach out. You can text me directly at the number on my website. You can set up a chat with me. You can set up a consultation. It's a prep call with me. It's free, 15 minutes. And let's work together to develop new and different tools, skills, and strategies to get you communicating in the best way possible. Remember, this is your empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, and I will see you next time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.